The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. What if you could immerse yourself in a world of overflowing beauty, a world in which you could explore ease with consciousness and the lightness of change? If ordinary isn't enough for you and remarkable is just the beginning, join us to discover a universe that is truly magical. This is Creme de la Creme, presented by facilitators of Access Consciousness. Is now the time for something different? Here are the hosts of Creme de la Creme.
Hi, welcome everyone to Creme de la Creme. I'm Marilyn Bradford. I'm an Access Consciousness facilitator. And I have co-hosts joining me today, Lisa Benson and Ann Maxwell from The Leaders. So welcome, Lisa and Ann.
Hi.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi. Good to be here.
Great, because we have a totally awesome guest today. Our guest is Susie Godsey, who is really, I don't even know what to say about Susie. I would say she's an animal whisperer, which is totally true. She's also an animal transformer. I mean, she just works with animals in ways that I've never known was possible. And she has a connection with them that's pretty astounding. So I invited her to join us today, and I'm just going to read a little bit about what the topic is. But first, welcome, Susie.
Thank you, Marilyn. Thank you. I'm really grateful to be here.
Great. We are grateful to have you. All righty. Animals may not communicate with you in your spoken language, but if you are willing to listen, they have a lot to say. What contribution can animals be to you that you have not been open to receiving? What wisdom and contribution can they add to your life? If you've been cutting yourself off from animals, you've been cutting yourself off from more than you imagined. Would you like a fuller and richer life? Join Susie Godsey, the amazing animal whisperer, as a special guest on our show for an exploration of this often overlooked subject. Very cool. So, Susie, I would love for you to start out, if it's all right, just saying a little bit about yourself and what you do and how you came to this connection with animals and pretty much anything you'd like to start us out with.
Well, great. Okay, cool. Well, basically, how did I come about this? I think my whole life I've had a connection to animals, and really, in a way, I almost wonder how many of us actually have that connection as children and then shut it off or decide that it's not really something that we want to pursue any further. And so in my case, too, I kind of always had an affinity to animals, but I never knew what to do with that. And all the quote-unquote jobs that were available that had to do with animals at the time weren't really something that I was interested in. So I couldn't really relate to becoming a vet or a zookeeper or even a biologist or anything like that. And so I kind of just let all that fall by the wayside. And then way, way later in my life, I stumbled into becoming a dog walker, and I literally stumbled into that. And so at first I walked a few dogs, and then I walked a few more, and then I walked a few more. And then I came up to 17 to 20 dogs at a time that I was walking in a pack. And I thought that that was normal, and so I think that was maybe the part where I really didn't realize that I was doing something special. I just thought, well, it just got more and more dogs, and I got used to it, and it's fine. So it didn't really occur to me till I started Access Consciousness, and Gary Douglas started talking to me and asking me some questions, and made me aware that maybe I was doing something a little bit unusual with all of that. So, and so this is how then I started to go, what am I doing, and is this something that I can actually also relate to other people in a way? And so I started doing classes, but all of this like took me quite a while, because really in the beginning I didn't actually recognize what I was doing. And so again, like, how many people that are listening are actually having this affinity and aren't recognizing it either, and having a connection to animals that they're not really willing to even acknowledge? So that's that would be a question I'd throw in right now. You know, how much have you been in denial about the acknowledgement for yourself, about how much you are actually communicating to animals? So that's a question here. And the whole thing about animal communication, I feel like a lot of people have these really strange points of views about what animal communication is. And so a lot of people think that they have to hear words in their head, or they have to actually see the animal almost move their lips. You know, we've seen so many movies where now the animals are moving their lips. And so if we don't see that, we think that, oh, we're not communicating, we're not hearing them. But what if you actually are hearing them in a different way and you just haven't been acknowledging that? And for all of you that have pets, how often have you actually noticed something about your pet that then was something that was correct? For example, your pet needed to go outside to pee without your pet actually running to the door and scratching, but you just all of a sudden knew you had to open the door for your dog, or you had to let your cat in. You know, how many times have you walked to the door and opened it, and then there was your cat? And it wasn't that the cat meowed outside, you just knew. And that is actually the receiving of the communication from animals. So it doesn't have to be this loud voice in your head. It doesn't have to be this intense ringing of your ears or whatever it might be. It could just be that really that feather touch of just knowing something all of a sudden, and that could be how you are receiving communication from animals. So everywhere you've been denying that, and everywhere you have not been allowing yourself to perceive that, will you now please destroy and uncreate all that?
Yes.
Yes. The Godzillion, right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine shorts, boys and beyonds.
You know, Susie, two things come to mind for me, and these were both after obviously taking some of your classes, because it's like you said, we do have that, we just don't know it. And we're so attuned to verbal communication. I remember when my much-beloved kitty of 17 years was dying, I was really able to communicate with him and ask him questions. Do you want to die at home? Do you want to go to the vet? Do you want to do this quickly? Do you want me to, you know, prolong it? I was having to do some medical procedures. And I can't tell you how I knew, but he let me know that he wanted to go quickly and he did want to go to the vet. And it was really interesting, because as I was leaving to take him to the vet, I just had this awareness to get this long, drapey, I don't know what to call it, it's like a sweatery thing, and to wear that. And when I got there at the vet, because of course it is a little sterile, I had him in a tent next to me in that, while they actually put him to sleep. And it still brings tears to my eyes. But some of that is just the awareness that we really can communicate and receive communication. And then the other thing, I was just gone for like 10 days and I feed the birds, and usually it's going to run out while I'm gone, you know, but usually it takes them, two or three days to figure out that I'm feeding them again. But before I left, I said, I'm going to be gone for 10 days. I mean, I just sort of put it out there. And I got home at night and I got up in the morning and I'm like, I'm back, guys. And I put the feed in, and I mean, in 5 minutes, they were all there. So somehow, I don't know, But, you know, and I think that's it, too, is a lot of times we're able to communicate in ways that are so difficult to verbalize and explain that we either dismiss them or we don't tell anyone about them.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It's like we assume that if we just say in plain English, hey, I'm going to be gone for 10 days, you know, and then when you got back saying, hey, guys, I'm back, you know, and they're all like, oh, she's back, let's go. But how often are we actually doing that? You know, we assume that, well, the birds don't understand me or they don't get it. And so we don't give the information, and that sometimes can be actually hard on our pets, too, when we don't give them information because we assume that they don't understand us. So we are denying them certain information, and especially when we go through a transition. You know, for example, we're moving somewhere or we're going on a vacation and we're leaving them home or whatever it is, so often we don't really just give them the full information about it. We say things like, oh, I'm going to be gone, but we don't really give them all of that energy. And sometimes you can just give the energy of it, and some people are really good at that. But for others, it might be easier to just look at it as if, how would I explain this to, like, a three-year-old, or what would I say to them, you know? And not necessarily to say that a dog is like a three-year-old, but use some simple words, use a simple way of saying it, but have the whole energy with it, and then it's really amazing all the stuff that they do actually get. And I know, listen, you've had a lot of those examples with your dog as well.
Really, when you say it's simple, it's just like talking to a normal person. I tell my dog, I recently when I had a class, I had a person going out with my dog, and I said, this guy's going to be out for 30 minutes or so. I just didn't want it to make it too long. And she was out walking, never really walked with dogs, and then wanted to, we can go a little longer, and wanted to make a bigger, go longer in the park. And she had just kept on going towards home. She's like, why are we going home? We're like, okay, well, if she wants to go home, let's go home. And so when they ended up in my apartment, it was exactly 30 minutes. And I'm like, oh, boy, next time I won't be an exact time. And last time I had a class, too. With time, it's insane with her. She has a better clock than I do. Like, I tell her the class is over at 9, and we start a bit late, so I just did a little longer. And at 9:00, she sits down, she wakes up, sits, and just stares in front of me. I'm like, what do you want, kind of? And like, oh, it's 9 o'clock. And then so I tell her, like, oh, no, we're going to do 15 minutes more. She goes and lies down again, comes exactly when it's 50 minutes. I didn't get it first. Like, sits and stares me out. I'm like, what time is it? Oh, it's 4:15. She's phenomenal. She doesn't have a clock to look at her. We do. I'm like, there is something. There's energetically something that animals just know. And we think it's so hard for them, but it's totally simple for them. That's what I'm like. And, like, really just with normal words. That's one of the things I've discovered that is so fun. It's just to talk. I do get that sometimes they need practice also if they have been taught to just to commando. Sometimes just to open up their awareness. But it's really interesting. I had a client just recently that had problems. Like, her three dogs wake them up every night at least twice. To go out and just run around and go in again. I'm like, you do that every night? Yeah, well, yes, they need to go out. I'm like, I don't think so. So can you talk with your dogs in the evening, tell them, no, we're sleeping too now? And just be clear, like, you're the leader and we're going to sleep. And she's posting every night on Facebook what she tells the dogs and next morning what happens. And almost every night she's sleeping too now.
Yeah, how does it get any easier? That's actually so true, too. I mean, so often we go into this place where we cater towards our animals, and like she did, you know, she thought they had to go out at night, but to them, it was just a routine and probably some fun. Oh, let's get out at midnight. I mean, that was probably not because of anything, but one day maybe they did have to go out, and then it became a little routine, and then it just started being fun. But then the people start thinking, oh, my dog needs to go out every night at 1 or 2 or whatever it is. But like you said, if we all of a sudden state that we actually would prefer something else, then the dogs go, oh, okay, cool, that's easy, you know. So, yeah, there is a difference between a dog that actually does have to go pee for some reason and then the ones that are just like, hey, let's go outside and have some fun in the night. So,
well, we also think if they need to, if they're showing that they need to, and it's really, like you said, they are also having, sometimes also they have fun with us because it's just they can't. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's often really, it's so interesting to me. So animal communication really goes both ways. And we do have to also be aware sometimes what we are projecting at our animals too. So, for example, she was kind of projecting at them that they have to go out at night. So she was reinforcing that probably every night before she went to bed. She probably thought, oh, I'm going to have to get up at 2 in the morning to let the dogs out. So that energy is there. And so the dogs pick that up too, and they go, oh, she wants to let us out at 2 at night. And then just like your dog goes, oh, it's 2 o'clock, let's go, you know. So so we have to be really aware of what we are projecting out there into the world and our animals picking it up and fulfilling it, because sometimes it can be not in our best interest. And so often, you know, I work with people whose dogs had like trouble with other dogs, and so they go out and they already go out with the expectation they're going to have some more trouble with their dog. Well, again, the dog picks up that energy and then is obviously trying to fulfill it. So now the dog will look around and see where could we get into this kind of an altercation, because obviously my person is asking for it. So sometimes it's really important for us to start really looking at, well, what am I already expecting of my animal, what my animal is going to be doing versus, you know. So that's the part where I think we need to just be aware of that.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you call a child stupid often enough, they'll begin failing everything and acting stupid. But we don't think our animals pick those things up. And I know there were times when I was really upset or angry. I had Kitty a long time. And, when I was going through my divorce, my ex had agreed to move some stuff over, and he came in, and he was so just, I don't even know how to describe it, angry, upset, you know, all kinds of things. And the poor cat ended up, I thought something was terribly, terribly wrong. Well, it was, but throwing up and really expressing all of what you'd express if someone was projecting that much rage and anger and upset and trauma. I ended up having to take him to the vet for the cost of $1,000, and it turned out he was constipated. But it so had such a response. He contracted so much because nothing else had changed, really. You know, he'd contracted so much because of all the trauma going on in the house. And, I mean, they're highly sensitive to our moods and our, whether we're being, you know, expansive or contractive or kind or, you know, it's amazing. Okay, well, we are about to take a break now. A quick commercial break. So I invite you to stay tuned with us and hear more from the amazing Susie Godsey about animals.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Dane here, and I would like to invite you to an adventure in being. I've just written and finished a new book known as Being You, Changing the World. Are you one of those dreamers? One of those people who's always known that other possibilities should be available but haven't yet been able to see them be created? Well, I wrote this book for you. In it, you'll find tools, processes, and unique perspectives to change the things you've always wanted to change but didn't know how. In it, you'll find an invitation to a different possibility for a way that we can be in this world that changes not only our lives, but by being us, allows us to contribute to changing everything planet-wide that doesn't work. Are you aware that truly great people, truly being them, is the only thing that has ever created a great change on this planet? Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to be one? check out a copy of my new book, Being You, Changing the World. I invite you to go to beingyoubook.com for a free gift.
When you're pondering the big questions like, is there more than this? How can I have a happy relationship? What would it take to like my body? And how do I make more money? Where do you go for information and tools? Check out the online store at accessconsciousness.com. Accessconsciousness.com has books, DVDs, instant video and audio downloads, online classes, and so much more. Subjects include abuse, changing your body, recovery, raising children, business techniques, tools to generate more money, how to have better sex and healthier relationships, just to name a few. At accessconsciousness.com, you can also find facilitators who teach local classes on a variety of subjects. Accessconsciousness.com, your one-stop shop for tools to assist you in changing your life. All of life comes to us with ease, joy, and glory. Go to accessconsciousness.com to learn more.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness The Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The Bars is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a Bars session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator to schedule a private session or to find a Bars class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
Listening to Creme de la Creme, presented by Access Consciousness. Join us on the program today via phone or email. Call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to Pam at accessconsciousness.com. She'll make sure we get the message. Now, back to Creme de la Creme.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. I am Marilyn Bradford, and I'm here with Ann Maxwell and Leeson Benson, and we're talking about what do animals have to say with our most amazing Beyond This Reality guest, Susie Godsey, animal whisperer and telepathic communicator. I don't even know what else to say. But really, I think one of the things that you're bringing to this, Susie, is showing all of us that while you may have a particularly genius talent in this area, we all can find ways to communicate with our animals, with pets, or with the animals in the wild, too. I mean, all animals.
Yeah. Well, and again, like, I really, and I thank you so much for, you know, for giving me all the credit here. And I really do believe that we all have these abilities. And some of us are a little bit more tuned into some areas than others. Like, I know a lot of people that are much more tuned into animals' bodies than maybe what the animals are saying. And so the biggest thing also here is for us to not make ourselves wrong for what we are receiving, or that it's not enough, or that we're, you know, not getting enough of it, basically. So what if that, too, was just something that you would start to practice and practice more and more of, and acknowledge when you are really receiving the information. And again, I think most of us are really not used to acknowledging that talent, so we brush it off. You know, we often say, oh, that was serendipitous, or that didn't really happen, you know. So instead of really acknowledging it and going like, wow, I really received that information from my animal, or I really got it. So, you know, that I think is really important. And like you were talking earlier about that story of your animal being constipated, I think that's also a pretty funny in a way, because so often we don't acknowledge how much these animals are connected with us and in tune with us, and they really also, with their body, can act out things that maybe, you know, would have been a manifestation of the person, but now the cat or the dog is showing it rather than the, you know, than the person. So
right.
There's so many things that can be contributing to all this, and I think a lot of it is actually we're not even really truly aware of yet. You know, there are so many things that are so curious in so many ways that science even doesn't have an answer for. You know, like certain animal migrations. Yes, there is an explanation to a lot of it, but sometimes there isn't. And so, you know, what are the animals communicating with and willing to communicate with in the earth and with the environment as a general, that we are not willing to see and hear and listen to ourselves either. So there is just a lot that this can be and is that we really just need to start practicing more and trusting ourselves more. And I think that's the biggest thing, too, is the trust, trusting you for what it is that you are receiving as an information.
Well, and also just the awareness. I mean, I know that so many of us are taught, basically, that animals aren't conscious and aware, that they don't have real needs. And that's just insane. Well, I was thinking particularly one time you have this amazing dog, Charlie, and it was right after my cat died, and I came out to stay in your home while I was working on my book, and you were traveling. And I looked at Charlie on the first evening, and I said, look, I know you're missing Susie, and I'm missing Demi, but, you know, if you can't be with one you love, love the one you're with. And he just looked up at me and started wagging his tail and playing and, you know, slept with me the whole time. And it was just like, okay, we're going to support each other and enjoy, you know, not pine away too much. And it was really amazing. It was just, it was very cool.
Yeah, and that's actually, thank you for saying that too, because how often do we actually acknowledge our animals for the contribution that they're being to us?
Yeah.
You know? Mm. And it's very interesting. A friend of mine, actually, she just started doing hospice care with her dog. So she signed up to be a volunteer person for hospice care with the dog. So she goes in with her dog, and she said it was so amazing. Like the first time she went in there, she basically told her dog right before they got there, she said, well, we're going to do some hospice care. And I mean, that dog didn't really probably know what she meant, but when they went in there, she said he did things that he would normally not do. So he walked over straight over to the lady that they were visiting and sat right on her foot. And he's normally not a dog that would sit on someone's foot right away. So she was quite astounded how quickly he got what they were there for. And so whatever she had communicated to him, she had energetically told him, like, hey, you know, this is what we're doing there, and you are really the main shot, like you are the contribution to this person. And he was being that for that person, and the person totally lit up and had a wonderful time petting him and being around him, and just, you know, that was the whole idea about it. But again, how often do we acknowledge when our animals actually get that and are assisting and doing things that we're asking of them? How often do we then actually go like, wow, I actually really asked my animal to do that, and look at that, it actually worked.
Mm. Cool.
So,
cool.
Because that is amazing, because we also would acknowledge how where we are at the same time. So I'm often looking how much can animals contribute to us to also make, like, contribute that we acknowledge that we are aware, they are aware. Because I see all the tools I use with animals, and Tini has really helped me to see, like, for example, the tools that we use in Access. When I use them with him, they work so easily, and she's, like, contributed so much to make me acknowledge that I'm aware. Because it's so easy to me to say, it doesn't work, I can't use the tools, or whatever we're going on. And I see how much a contribution she's willing to be to showing me that they work. And she loves when I use them. She really loves them when I use them. It's like if she runs away, now she's a bit more, she doesn't do it, she's five, she's more like willing to be. And but when she was two or three, she would run after and grab it as easily as just blinking or run whatever she wanted to do. And when she was away, I'd like, oh, come back. And I got this frustration. And I'm like, of course she's not going to come back if I'm frustrated. Of course not. And I asked the question, like, what else is possible? And I'm like, oh, we have this pull energy. And when I said pull energy, she came back within less than a minute. I had no clue where she was.
Wow.
You mean you don't have to run
after
your dog to get to have them?
I did all the crazy stuff before I understood that I can do it easier. And then y'all like, you have no clue where is the street. Oh, fuck. Like, ah. No, really, it's much more simple. And then I'm like, oh, my God, I just pulled energy. And then I remember you telling me, ask your dog if she's going to, if I take her off leash, are you going to run away? And I began doing that. And she either gave me, like, lighter, heavier, yes or no. I'm like, oh, interesting. And then I made a deal. I did a deal with her. You're allowed to run away. If we're in a port, you're allowed to run away as much as you like. Just come within 2 or 3 minutes, say hi, and run away again. So you just, like, pit stop, say hi, everything is fine, run away again. That's what she does since then, basically almost every time when she loves running away. It's like, I never thought that would be possible, ever.
Right. And that's actually so cool, Lisa. I mean, you really kind of made a deal with her, and I feel like also, like, sometimes people like to make a deal, but then maybe they don't trust it or they break the rules, so to speak. Like, so you made a very clear deal with your dog, hey, if you are running, this is how far you can run, or you have to come back and check in. But so then you don't micromanage, so you don't keep, you know, yelling, where are you, and all that, but you trust that she comes. And I think sometimes people don't trust either when they're making
don't.
A deal like that, that it will actually work. So this is kind of cool to hear this, because the tool of, well, number one, asking a question, you know, here in this case, just, and then perceiving what the answer is. And you mentioned light or heavy, just kind of looking at, okay, does it feel light to let my dog off the leash, or does it feel heavy? Well, if it feels heavy, don't let your dog off the leash. Even if it makes no sense, you might be in a beautiful space and you might be like, well, this is the best spot to let my dog off the leash. But if it feels heavy, trust yourself, trust your animal, that they know, actually. And it's interesting, like, you know, you would think that the dog would always want to be off a leash. And so, of course, it would always feel light to let the dog off the leash. But, no, actually, the dog knows, too. And sometimes they can be aware that, oh, if I'm being let off a leash, like, whatever it might be that could occur in the future with that, that actually can, you know, be a detriment to the dog. Like, there could be a rabbit that jumps up and runs across the road, and then the dog follows and gets hit by a car. So, you know, the heaviness of letting the dog off the leash could be something that the dog is perceiving in the future as well. So, yeah, trusting that, I think that's one of the parts that I feel like a lot of people are not willing to do. So, listen, what did you do to start really trusting yourself and your dog? What was actually helpful there for you?
One thing helped me, just, I had to just choose it. Like, it's interesting. What trust do you have? Huh. I think I began to trust that she has choice to also be willing to be aware if she wants to live or not. So I also began to trust that she has choice. Like, if she would run away and she doesn't want to live anymore, she'll use that to her advantage. And I also began to trust that, like, it's okay. Or I also think it's okay for her to choose to live or not. And it helped me a lot, again, that you gave me the awareness that I can make deals with her. And I also knew it has to be 100% deal from my side. And I was like, oh, it's cute. She can run away. It's fine. Like, anytime I have a little bit of energy that it's okay to do something else, of course she's like a little kid and will use that. but you know what's fun with her? Like, if she knows she's been away too long, she comes back, she goes really next side to me, and I usually put the leash on, sorry, and And what helps is you do these changes, your energy, with a couple of minutes, and then I take her off the leash again. So it's like, I can say since I use the tools and since I've been to your classes, helped me so much just to, okay, this is how we're going to do it, and it helps both of us.
Yeah.
And she's not unhappy when she's on the leash.
No, and that's, I think, oftentimes, again, if we feel our dogs are going to be unhappy on a leash, then they will act that way because they're perceiving that, again, when we're projecting an expectation like that, the dog perceives that and will basically feed us that back as a feedback, like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm supposed to be unhappy when I'm on a leash. Okay, then I'll act that way or I'll be that way. It's more an act, really, than really, you know. I've seen that so often is that when I don't have a problem with something, my dog doesn't have a problem with something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I start acting out over something, the dog will start acting out over something. So what if we really also became more aware of the fact that these animals are really so tightly connected to us energetically, and they really do pick up every thought, feeling, and emotion that we have on some level. And they may not get the complexity of everything, and they may not get the detail of everything, but they do get the gist of what's going on. And again, I'm sure a lot of you have these stories where, you know, you were upset about something and your animal would come over and basically kind of console you or just acknowledge that, hey, I'm here. You know, I'm here with you. I'm here to support you, whatever it is. So I think that's also something that a lot of us know, but we're not really willing often to acknowledge the depths of all of that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and the whole question thing made me think about an incident in Costa Rica when I was riding. I was riding with the intermediate group, and we came to this very rickety, weird little bridge that was, it was a small stream, but the horse had to go down and then across this rickety bridge and then back up, and we were last in line. And every single horse that had done that, had gone before us, had stumbled and gotten weird and bucked a little bit, and I looked at I said to my horse, and I just telepathically put it out there. I said, can we, and I just had this image of us going very easily across this rickety bridge and up the other side, totally East Joy and Glory, and that's exactly what he did. And he looked around at me like, see?
Oh, wow.
It was really fun.
Yeah. I mean, how cool is that? You know, and if you would just know ahead of time that you can actually do that, you know, then, gosh, how much more would you actually be willing to be aware of with your animal and in general?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone, well, we're going to take another quick commercial break now, and please stay tuned with us. This is such a great conversation with the amazing Susie Godsey and Lisa Benson and Maxwell and myself, Marilyn Bradford. So stay tuned.
Want to know what the best kept secret in Access Consciousness is? It's the Access Gold Club. Demanding more change and the latest and greatest, but can't always get to all the classes you desire? Let Gary and Dane come to you. Join the Gold Club, and each month you'll receive a 60-minute live call, a weekly email on the month's theme containing the latest clearings in written form, and an MP3 loop. Twice a month, receive a brand new video with Gary and Dane. How does it get any better than this? In addition to receiving a CD format of the monthly call mailed to you, you'll also enjoy a surprise bonus gift. Be in on the secret. Join today at www.isnowthetime.com/special-tips.
When you make decisions, do you ever find yourself in doubt? Are you trying to figure out what's right with you? Are you ready to truly change your life? listen for the Access Consciousness Radio Show with the founders of Access Consciousness, Gary Douglas and Dr. Dane here. Consciousness is all about including everything and judging nothing. Our program will help you break free from your personal limitations and enhance positive change in all areas of your life. Tune in to Access Consciousness Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Empowerment.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Dane here, and I would like to invite you to an adventure in being. I've just written and finished a new book known as Being You, Changing the World. Are you one of those dreamers? One of those people who's always known that other possibilities should be available but haven't yet been able to see them be created? Well, I wrote this book for you. In it, you'll find tools, processes, and unique perspectives to change the things you've always wanted to change but didn't know how. In it, you'll find an invitation to a different possibility for a way that we can be in this world that changes not only our lives, but by being us, allows us to contribute to changing everything planet-wide that doesn't work. Are you aware that truly great people, truly being them, is the only thing that has ever created a great change on this planet? Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to be one? Check out a copy of my new book, Being You, Changing the World. I invite you to go to beingyoubook.com for a free gift.
When you're pondering the big questions like, is there more than this? How can I have a happy relationship? What would it take to like my body? And how do I make more money? Where do you go for information and tools? Check out the online store at accessconsciousness.com. AccessConsciousness.com has books, DVDs, instant video and audio downloads, online classes, and so much more. Subjects include abuse, changing your body, recovery, raising children, business techniques, tools to generate more money, how to have better sex and healthier relationships, just to name a few. At AccessConsciousness.com, you can also find facilitators who teach local classes on a variety of subjects. AccessConsciousness.com, your one-stop shop for tools to assist you in changing your life. All of life comes to us with ease, joy, and glory. Go to AccessConsciousness.com to learn more.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness The Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The Bars is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a Bars session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a Bars class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
Listening to Creme de la Creme, presented by Access Consciousness. Join us on the program today via phone or email. Call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to Pam at accessconsciousness.com. She'll make sure we get the message. Now, back to Creme de la Creme.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. Marilyn Bradford here with Susie Godsey talking about the amazing connections we can have with animals. And also we're joined with two leaders, Ann Maxwell and Leeson Benson. So we were having a little chat over the break. And I think you're up.
So I'm up. So the story that I wanted to... What I wanted to talk about is about my cat. She's 17 years old, and she was my mom's kitty. And my mom got her from a farmer who had found her along the side of the road. And he thought that somebody probably just tossed her out of a car. I think she might have had a brother that was also there. But anyway, they think that she's probably about 4 weeks, and her hindquarters were injured a little bit, and she's always been a little bit sore in her rear quarters. And she was my mom's cat, and then my mom came and lived with my husband and me for the last 2 years of her life. And one of my mom's requests of me when she died was to take care of Josie, and I agreed to do that. And then fast forward to 5.5 years later, and I split up my home. My husband and I are separated, and he didn't want to take Josie, and I travel a lot. And so I needed to find a place for her. And it really, there was something about, so I kept on talking with her the way we've been talking about on the show, and initially, and for a long period of time, what I got from her is that she would rather be with me than be someplace else. And so she watched we moved out of a house that we'd lived in for 18 years, and Josie watched all the furniture leaving, all the boxes being packed up and everything. And the day before we actually moved out of the house, I found a place for her to live, and it wasn't a great place. They were lovely people, and the girl had a lot of other things going on, and it was just filthy. I couldn't have her living like that. And so then I took her to the vet because she was coughing. And it was interesting. She actually chose her next permanent home. And I left her there overnight because I didn't want to take her back to that home. And understand, I'm traveling in and out. And one of the vet techs at the vet picked her up one day, and she hissed at her, like really just hissed at her. And another vet tech came over and said, "Oh, Josie, come here." And Josie reached over for her and nuzzled at the nape of her neck. And so the vet called me and said, "We found somebody who can take care of her while you're traveling." And so long story shorter is that's where she's living now. And I went to see her. It's a lovely home. And the woman takes the kind of care of her that I can't take care of her. She's 17 now, or 18. I don't know which, 17 maybe. And I travel a lot, and so I'm not around. And I also live with friends who are allergic to cats, and so she can't be with me. And I went to visit her last week, and she hid under the chair. It's the first time I visited her since I dropped her off at this home. And she hid under the chair, and she wouldn't come out. And when she was looking at me under the chair, it wasn't like she was glowering at me. It was like she was saying, "I found my place, right?"
Oh,
I'm starting to cry. Always cry. But anyway, so she found her spot, and it's like she knew. We were both pulling energy. I totally was. And it's like she pulled this woman into her life, and that's where she is now. So I made it almost to the end without crying. I've talked to Susie for hours about this kitty, but she's really happy. She's really happy. She follows, apparently, this woman's husband has a routine every morning when he leaves for work. And Josie follows him, anticipating his next move, and waits for him, you know, where he gets his coat. And then she runs over to the coat rack and waits for him until he puts his coat on, and then runs over to where the keys are and waits for him until he gets the keys. I mean, she's totally, totally, totally happy there. So
yeah.
It's awesome.
Well, and, you know, Anne, I mean, I know this was not easy for you because you had promised your mom you would take care of her kitty, really, and you're traveling. And so to me, again, this is an example of where we really have to look at what's working and what's not working. Because if you live with an animal and you're traveling a lot and your animal is not happy with that, or it's not working for you to have the animal in that situation, you really have to have a look at what actually might work for both of you. And I know people that, you know, go either extreme. Some people are like, "Oh, well, you know, I'll just bring the animal to the shelter and that's it." And other people stop doing what they really want to do in their lives because they're so guilt-ridden and they think they have to stick it out. And so what if there was the possibility of the tools of asking questions and really looking at what else is possible and being open to any possibility. And it's not really that it's about breaking a promise that you made to your mom. You are taking care of the cat just in a different way than what maybe she had in mind, but it doesn't really matter. It's almost like looking really at every aspect of this and being willing to be open to possibilities is really the tool here and the willingness to make it work for everybody. And so, you know, she really contributed by finding her place by being so obvious with the vet tech and really showing like, hey, I like your energy. You know, I'm coming with you.
Right.
And she really and subsequently making it easier for you too to see that, wow, you know, she is in a really good place now and I don't have to worry about her.
Right.
And she has chosen that and it's working. So, you know, and so how
and
often do we, you know, how often do we really kind of go into this bizarre space with all that rather than really being open to asking questions?
And I kept asking questions. And even though there were a lot of tears, I just kept on asking questions. And nothing came back to me cognitively, and it all happened energetically, just like that, like the vet's office calling me and saying, we think we've found a place for her. And that's how it happened, right? And what if that's actually what she and I created together? But again, because it wasn't cognitive or logical, it's hard to sort of imagine or wrap that sense around it. But that's actually what we did. We did create that. Or she created it. I created it. We both created it.
Yeah, you were co-creators in this new
way. We were
way
in
of
finding
being,
her next
and
life.
I think that's really the important part here, really, again, is the acknowledgement that you both were working towards this. You know, was she really willing to leave you? Not really at first, but then when she realized that, oh, you know what, this is probably the only option, or not really that's the only option, but it's like, I need to change my mind here. I need to,
right.
I need to open my my willingness also to have a different life. And I think that's really important. And, you know, for example, you know, Marilyn, you mentioned my dog Charlie, and I travel a lot too. And, you know, he always is unhappy when I roll the suitcases out, you know, but I do go a lot. And I have these chats with him, and I say, hey, look, if you like living with me, and if that's what you're choosing, then this is going to be part of the life that we have together, is I'm going to be gone a lot, so you're going to be with other people, and I will do my utmost best to provide best care possible for you, but that's the kind of life. So when I'm actually leaving, then, hey, don't give me the look, because, you know, if this is no longer working for you, let me know, but don't try to manipulate me, because that's really not working. You know, I'm leaving anyway.
Right.
Well, you know, Gary Douglas really helped me out with that, with traveling with my kitty. And he said, Marilyn, just include him in your energetic field, always. And I was like, wow. And I realized that, you know, I would go and I would have this idea that he was there and I was here and we weren't connected. And as soon as I switched to totally including him all the time, I put his picture on my, you know, my iPhone, my background, and he was with me energetically, it made a huge difference. My cat sitter was like, he was fine this time, you know, and he didn't freak out the way he would when I would be gone more than 5 or 6 days. So, you know, we're taught to think of separations as real separations, and they don't have to be. I guess that's what I wanted to say.
Well, and I still keep her in my energetic field with that, and I've let her know that she can stay there, that I'm not going to take her away. And so that's my, you know, that's what I can do, and I can support this family financially so that they can take care of her. And the other thing is, they have a cat there who's 23 years old and a dog, a Basset, that's a yippie dog.
Mm.
And I said to her, here's the deal, sweetie. I don't know whether I can find you another place. Please make this work, right? Really, please make this work. And she did.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. she'd love to.
How does it get any better?
How does it get any better?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's just beautiful.
Yeah. So, thank you, guys. Thank you, Susie, so much.
Yeah, no, you're welcome. And really, the whole idea here is for all of us to recognize how much we can communicate with our animals. And so I would really, what I would really like to encourage everyone who is listening to start to acknowledge when you are communicating and being more aware of when you are receiving information as well as when you are actually, when you made a demand or when you were asking for something and your animal is actually giving you that. And to really start to notice those moments and then actually really notice them also as a creation that you have contributed to, that your animal has contributed to. So animal communication for me is really a lot of just the practicing of that. That's the most important thing because we all have different ways of receiving and perceiving energy. And so for me to tell you exactly how you will receive that information would be trying to explain something to you that may not even work for you. Some people really do hear words. Other people get all kinds of other information through their bodies or sensations that they have. So I would not want to be the one to tell you exactly what that looks like, but I would like to encourage you to see what is actually possible for you and what is it is how you are receiving that information and then also how you are giving that information to your animal. And like Lisa said, just talking to them, you know, in a normal, normal tone of voice can do it, but you can also think at them. And so whatever works for you. So start to really look at what you do and how you receive the information and be willing to really play with that and you know, and start to pat yourself on the back when you are receiving certain information and all of that. So that is my, that would be sort of my pledge to you to just become more aware of those moments.
And Susie, if people would like to get in touch with you, how would they do that? How can they find you?
Well, I do have a website that's actually my name, so Susie Godsey, and it's SUZYGODSEY.com, and that's pretty easy. But also, if you guys are familiar with the Access website, I am on the Access Consciousness website as well, and you can find me there under Susie Godsey too. So that's pretty easy.
Great, and you do private consults, classes, teleclasses.
Yeah, all of the above, and
okay,
that
cool.
Really all depends on what you know, what is required. But I do like 15-minute sessions even with people. Sometimes we can accomplish a lot in 15 minutes, and then you get some homework, and you know we can you know, play with that. So that's really an easy thing to do. So.
Yeah, it's amazing how much if you just get some accurate information, you can turn things around with a pet, you know.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
Yeah. So
grateful, Susie. Oh, my God.
So much.
You just
yeah.
Made it so much easier. Yeah. And
yeah.
So grateful to all the animals, too, right?
Absolutely. And thank you, everyone, for coming to our program today. Thank you, Lisa and Anne, and especially for being our guest, Susie. And it was awesome, and I know that this is going to really assist a lot of people. It's going to be new information. It certainly was for me when I first heard it. And we will catch you right back here at the same time next Tuesday on the Voice America and Empowerment Channel. And also, make sure to tune in for Gary Douglas and Dr. Dane here on Thursdays, 2 p.m. Pacific, on the Empowerment Channel. Thank you all. We will talk with you next week.
Thank you for listening to Creme de la Creme today. You might like to listen to it more than once. To experience even more change, join us again next Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Be sure to check out creatingaconsciousworld.com and accessconsciousness.com to find out more about us and about Access. What would it take for you to choose to be the creme de la creme in your life and to choose it again and again? Will you?